are coming to the end of our kind of sprint through the Bible. Next week, we'll kind of have a standalone sermon, then on faith and action, and then a new sermon series. We actually started this most recent journey through the Bible back on May 12th, if you can believe it. This literally has been a journey. We started with some of the books of the New Testament, going through roughly three of those. And then Pastor Dan created a sermon series on the prophets for the summer during my sabbatical. And then the last several weeks, we've been journeying through the Old Testament books that are called or known as the wisdom books. Today we finish with the pinnacle wisdom book, the book of the Bible that defines wisdom, that defines wisdom literature, the Proverbs. Wisdom is a funny thing. It does come easier with age, but I have found that there are plenty of young people with lots of wisdom and perhaps some older people that don't have as much as maybe they should or would like. As I travel and talk to different people about generations and generational understanding, one of the things I always talk about is kind of the generational arrogance that exists in our culture today, that every generation thinks they have the corner on culture and truth and wisdom. And this is where Proverbs can be very helpful to us. It can give us a center. It can give us a base for wisdom. If you could put the first slide up, the theme of Proverbs is very simple. You must fear me to follow me. You must fear God to follow God. Doesn't sound very positive, does it? Well, let me give you some information. You see, the language here, fear, is something that we often mistake. When we talk about fearing God, we are not talking about being afraid as we might be of death or snakes or heights. That's one of my fears. I was on my ladder to the roof yesterday working, and I said, I will not be afraid. And as I'm shaking and the ladder shaking, it didn't work. Or maybe your spouse, whatever it is you're afraid of. We're not talking about this deep terror, this fear. You know, a lot of times when we look at the Old Testament, we see a lot of reasons to fear God, a God who took seriously sin and wasn't afraid to deal with the people. I asked somebody today if they came in on their ark, right? A classic example of a story from the Old Testament that perhaps causes us to be afraid of God. But we are a New Testament people. We are in the New Covenant. And while the Old Testament has great value, we know that things are new in Jesus. And we know that as children of God, because we are God's chosen children, we have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Easier said than done, right? You see, when the Bible talks about fearing God, this language, and there's often language barriers, this fear issue is not one of terror. It is one of respect. It is one of honor. It is one of submission, of obedience. It is to hold in high regard. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about the fear of God. It is not about being afraid, but it is about loving and obeying, cherishing, honoring, respecting, listening to, submitting to the God of the universe. To understand that God is much bigger than us. How is it then that we obey and trust and respect God in all things? And we do that for many reasons. We do that because God loves us. We love God because God first loved us. We obey and trust and honor and respect and listen to and follow God because God loves us. But you see, God has the best in mind for us. You see, these rules, this stuff that God sets up, the wisdom that God imparts, is not to take away our fun, is not to ruin our lives. It's not to make us fit some perfect mold. God has created each of us unique. Rather, these things that God gives us is because God really does know what's best for us. Many of us have been on the giving and receiving end of that, right? Our parents imparting wisdom to us because they know what's best for us. amazingly, we knew better. And then, of course, we had, many of us have had our turn as parents, right? Telling our kids things because it is what's best for them, and them amazingly knowing more than us. Having two teenagers, I have entered that phase where I know absolutely nothing. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful season. Very, very good, humbling season. You see, God gives us these wisdom nuggets, and Proverbs is so great for that. Did you know that there are exactly 31 Proverbs, one for each day of any month? One of the great practices with the scripture that I've done throughout the years on and off is to look at the day of the month. Okay, today is the first. What is the first proverb? Reading the first proverb, imparting that wisdom, because the world doesn't love wisdom. Next slide, please. In Proverbs, we are reminded that God never flatters. God only encourages us with the truth. God encourages us with the truth. You see, God is in love with truth. I'm not talking about your truth or my truth or some political truth or some religious tradition. I'm talking about the truth revealed in Scripture, the truth revealed in Jesus. God is in love with the truth, and if we are people who love Jesus, we should be in love with the truth as well. So often, instead of seeking God's truth, we look to find ways for God to justify our truth. We cherry-pick verses and philosophies to allow God to justify what we already believe. Confirmation bias isn't just a problem in the culture or in politics. It's a problem in the American Christian church as well. That we should be people who seek God's truth, not seek to get God to justify our own truth. It's so much easier to look at and to address the sin of others, whether it's their sexuality or their language or their driving, whatever it might be, than to deal with our own stuff. It's that Matthew 7 business that we point out the speck in other people's eyes when we got this giant old plank in our own eye. I think we're afraid of God's truth, because we know that we aren't God. And so we know that when we seek God's truth, some of our truth is going to be challenged. And it doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 5 minutes or 50 years, whether you're 40 or 80, God still has truth to impart to you. No generation has the corner on the market of truth. No country has the corner on the market on God's truth. The Holy Spirit didn't stop speaking as soon as you or I were born. You see, God is in love with truth. That is what wisdom is all about. Next slide, please. Real wisdom comes from saying, God, I am listening. Tell me how to hear you. You see, wisdom isn't about what we know. There's a whole lot of people in this world that know a whole lot but aren't so wise, right? Wisdom is not about what you know. It's what you do with what you know. It's how you allow what you know to shape you. Not just what you believe, but how you operate, how you treat others, how you look at the world. That wisdom is embracing God's truth and changing your thinking and your words and your living as a result. God is in love with truth. Not our truth, but God's truth. Again, confirmation is such a real thing in our world and in the church. There's not a one of us sitting here that can't grow in wisdom. There's not a one of us here who God has stopped revealing truth to. If you're still breathing, God ain't done with you yet. That's the good news and the bad news, right? And again, so often we grab onto the truth of our political party, of our generation, of our tradition, and we assume that that's God's truth. But if you're looking for any tradition or political party to be the holder of God's truth, you're going to be dramatically disappointed. Dramatically. We love truth when it matches what we want. We love truth when it matches what we believe. But maybe we don't love truth so much when it challenges us, when it pushes us. Yet we can all grow in wisdom. That while knowledge is helpful, knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. That wisdom changes us. Wisdom shapes us. Wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge, not for our own betterment, but for the betterment of the gospel, for the betterment of others. I love the Proverbs, but not always. Sometimes I would get up in the morning and I'd say, all right, today's the fourth, and I'd flip to Proverbs 4 and start reading it about two verses and be like, all right, let's pretend today's the fifth. Right? That sometimes wisdom is painful. Sometimes wisdom is challenging. Sometimes wisdom is convicting and humbling. But wisdom is ultimately meant to be life-giving. Remember, God gives us these things not to ruin our life, but to give us life. To give us life abundant. That wisdom isn't a curse. It isn't just this yoke hanging around our neck. Wisdom is a joy. Not always easy. Not always pain-free, but wisdom is a joy. In wisdom, we become more like God. In wisdom, we see things more as God sees them. In wisdom, we become who God has created us to be. That's the beauty and the power of wisdom. Truth be told, we don't always have a culture that values wisdom, but God promises us that he will give us wisdom. Verse 23, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. We don't have to listen to God. You are free to ignore everything that God says. But in ignoring God's truth and ignoring God's wisdom, there are natural consequences. We don't get to ignore God's wisdom and be free of the natural consequences of doing so at the same time. It would be great to be able to eat out at our favorite restaurant for every meal, but we can't avoid the natural consequences that come with that. Financially, clothing size, right? And that's how we often want it. We want to hear God's wisdom, but not to let it alter our lifestyle, to alter how we live. We assume that we have arrived. We assume, and we would never say this, but by the way we talk and act, we assume that we've got it all figured out. While God's truth doesn't change, this world, this culture, you and I, we are still learning to understand it. God's truth hasn't changed from the beginning, but we continue to learn it. Every single day, we continue to grow in wisdom, in understanding truth, that wisdom is a beautiful thing. I love to learn. I love to learn. And I would argue that you can't be a lifelong leader without lifelong learning. You can't be a leader without lifelong learning. That discipleship is learning, learning God's truth, being shaped by that. Yesterday, as I've shared, I'm learning to do house projects. It's a very scary thing, not natural for me. And so yesterday I took on a project that involved plumbing. It was my first project I was willing to take on involving plumbing because water and I are not friends when I'm trying to get it to do what I want, right? And so when we were remodeling our kitchen and the floor, our ice maker line kind of went kapooey. And in that moment, as we've got bare wood and water is squirting out, we realize that there's no shutoff on that. We've got to shut off like whole parts of the system. And so Jessica's scrambling, crawling under counters. It was a delightful moment. And so we had to turn everything off, which the filtered drinking water, which we rely on, we've not had for a little while. And so we were determined to figure out how to not only fix this, and we got a little advice from friend and other people, not how to fix this, but to make a shutoff, right? So this was like, for some of you, you're like, oh, that's easy. For Marcus, this is like rocket science, right? And so yesterday I'm figuring it out, and another trip to Home Depot because it was the wrong part, and, you know, working, trying not to get frustrated. So I get it and get the shut off, and I'm like, ah, it works, right? So then you put the next part in and see if there's a leak. All right, no leak. And then you get the next part in and see if there's a leak. All right, no leak. And the last part in, see if there's a leak. No leak. Yes, victory in Jesus, right? 5 minutes later, there's a leak. Fix it. 5 minutes later, there's a different leak. Fix it. 5 minutes later, there's a different leak. Sweet Jesus, come quickly. But you know, my favorite moment is when it's done and working, of course, but there's something fun about learning something. And as I was doing this, Jessica's like, explain this to me. Help me know this. You know, and the same thing will happen when she's working on something, that there's something beautiful to learning, to growing. And I think sometimes as we get older, we like to learn less. We like to just kind of cruise and let things be as they are. But that is not the way of Jesus. That is not the way of discipleship. That we are called to continue to learn, to continue to grow. That the fear of God means that we grow. The fear of God means that we listen. The fear of God means that we honor, we respect, we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way, right? That's what we do. Because that's what wisdom is. That's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom doesn't come from a book or a degree or a television set. Wisdom comes from God. You can get knowledge anywhere, but wisdom comes from God. And in a world where we worship knowledge and status and tradition and ideology, we end up completely forgetting about or perhaps even rejecting wisdom. It's so easy to point out the lack of wisdom in others. It's a whole nother thing to deal with our own lack of wisdom. You're on the right side of the dirt today again. God's not done with you. There are still things to learn, still things to grow, to learn. And in learning, in gaining in wisdom, we find freedom and we find life. That's the joy. It doesn't matter whether it's a new Bible passage or a plumbing thing or a relationship, that as we grow in wisdom, as God speaks to us through the scriptures, God speaks to us through the ordinary, as we grow in wisdom, we find life. We find freedom. It's a joy. Wisdom is a joy. That when the scripture describes wisdom, it describes it with words like beauty. Wisdom is a positive thing. It doesn't always come positively. It doesn't always feel positive. But wisdom is a beautiful thing. It is a gorgeous thing. It is a lovely thing. It is a worthwhile thing. But wisdom comes not from experience, not from education, not from years marked on a calendar, but from God. Those things can help, certainly, but they don't instantly equate to wisdom. Because knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Wisdom comes from God, and it comes from listening to God. It comes from trusting God. It comes from obeying God. That wisdom, perfect wisdom, is when our lives mirror the life of Jesus. When our thoughts, our words, and our actions mirror not what we think the scripture says, but mirror who Jesus is. That's when we reach the pinnacle of wisdom. So, if you're not Jesus yet, then you've got some wisdom to gain. I'm not. I love when I remember and have the strength and the courage to listen to God. I love, even though it comes in painful, humbling ways sometimes, I love the wisdom that God gives me. It makes me better. It makes me more free. It brings me more joy. It makes me a better Christ follower, husband, pastor, father. Wisdom is a gift. Not a free gift, always, but wisdom is a gift. And that's why the Proverbs are so beautiful. They are constant, continuous nuggets of wisdom. God wants to give you wisdom, not to make you perfect, but to give you life. God wants to give you wisdom to transform you, to transform your families, to transform your friends, your church, your community. That wisdom given to us from God is not just for us, it's for others as well. And I'll warn you, just when we think we know everything, just when we're so sure about something, is oftentimes when God points us in the right direction. So we submit. In humility, we trust, we follow, we listen to, and we obey Jesus because Jesus knows better. Because in Jesus we find wisdom, we find life, not just for eternity, but for our time here as well. What do we choose? Knowledge, ideology, our way? Or are we going to choose the wisdom of God?